Hey everybody, welcome back to Concierge Confidential. I'm your host, Brian Ortega, and this week we are going to be diving into some retro Vegas stuff. So when I say this, I don't mean just everything's going to be retro, like 70s, but really just sort of a rundown of a couple of things that might throw you back in like the 1950s or 60s, because I actually got a request from somebody that they wanted to do a lot of sort of classic Vegas stuff, which is actually a lot harder than you think when it comes to Las Vegas, because part of our identity is actually always retooling and refreshing a lot of things that may have gone out of style. So it's actually really hard to find a lot of these sort of old school things that you would have seen back in like the Rat Pack era or when Elvis were here, but we're going to do our best. So I found a nice little website, which I think I'd like to have this person on at some point to talk about it, but I'm going to go through some of their stuff and I'll also give like give their recommendation for their website for this sort of episode. So this is the Retro Vegas episode of Concierge Confidential. Okay, everybody, so welcome back. So we're going to be talking about some retro Vegas things. So essentially what I'm talking about stuff from the 50s and 60s. So think the Rat Pack era and then into the 70s, which has been Elvis, and then so on and so forth. So the person who actually messaged me on this, his name is Garrett. He messaged me on Instagram, @concierge_confidential_LV. And I didn't rightly respond on there, but it did give me the idea for this episode. So hopefully, Garrett, you're listening, and hopefully this is helpful. But I did find a nice little website, if you want to go take a look at it, that really specializes in this, because I don't specialize in Retro Vegas, but I was a tour guide, so I know a lot about the history of Las Vegas, which is helpful in terms of figuring this stuff out. But it's called Mid-Century Millennial, and it's run by this travel blogger, which let me go ahead and grab her information. You can actually follow her on her Instagram, which actually does, I think, Austin, Texas, as well as Las Vegas, which she actually just updated one in 2022. But it's mid_century_millennial. Give her a shout out. And she does a lot of that kind of stuff. But she also has a website, which you can check out, which is called Mid-Century Millennial. So make sure you check that out if you want a nice little sort of guide for retro stuff here in Las Vegas, which she has a really good rundown of things in oldest hotels on the Strip. And then also a nice little map of things to look at while in Las Vegas. So really fantastic website, I have to say. So really kudos to her. So make sure you check that out. I'll probably try to throw a link in the description so you guys can check it out on your own. So anyways, so let's go and jump into it. So a couple of things that I would always recommend if you wanted to do old school things like where Frank Sinatra would have gone and all that good stuff. So a couple of places to sort of just put on, you know, your radar. One of them is the Golden Steer. The Golden Steer is the one that everybody always talks about. It's been here for the longest amount of time, which you don't find a lot of these old restaurants still around, but Golden Steer is definitely one. It's been expanded. I would say if you are going to be going to the Golden Steer, you really want to get your reservations in, and you really have to, about a month and a half in advance. Usually about 90 days is when they are allowing for reservations. So it does take a little bit longer for you to make a reservation for those kind of things. So Golden Steer is certainly a place that I would recommend to try out. The food can be pricey. It's Vegas prices, but the good thing is that their food is all-inclusive, which that's sort of the nice thing about these old-school spots is that they are not just a la carte, but it is sort of an all-inclusive deal when you get like a steak for two or a surf and turf for two. It usually comes with like a salad and an appetizer or a drink or something of that nature. So Golden Steer, stop number one. The other thing that comes up is like old hotels. So are old hotels worth staying in? Well, it depends. So I would typically say that old hotels are not worth staying in, but they are worth visiting, which is really, that's what I'm talking about. Old hotels tend to, the rooms, as much as they try to keep up on them, especially in Las Vegas, tend to lose a lot of their charm, especially over the years. But if it's a hotel that's old enough, they tend to try to keep up the parts of the hotel that make them vintage. So, for example, a lot of good hotels that you can visit would be things like the El Cortez. It's really fantastic. It's been here since the 1940s. It actually has its original sort of rancho style on the, obviously, on the exterior of the building. It has their tiles. It also has this big, giant, beautiful El Cortez sign and a big, giant sign that says gambling inside of it. When you walk inside, it's all been redone, which is quite fantastic. But really, the key for El Cortez is the outside, and that's really the fun part. They also have what's cool about the El Cortez, which I'd highly recommend this for Garrett if he's, you know, going to be on Fremont Street, which I believe that is where he's staying, is if you go into the El Cortez, they actually have a whole hallway, long hallway. I think it's on the second floor. So you have to go towards the hotel rooms and then to the second floor up the stairs. And they actually have a whole hallway that's decorated just like it was in the 1940s, which is really, really cool. And actually, when you make it to the end of that hallway, it's sort of a speakeasy, but not the way you think about it. It's a barber shop speakeasy. So it's actually a barber shop inside of the El Cortez, which is really, really cool. It's just a regular barbershop. It actually, I think, has a chair or two chairs in it. You can get your hair cut. You can get yourself a shave. It's a whole experience. I think it ends up coming out to like a shave and a haircut ends up being, you know, close to like $60 or $70. But that's actually pretty going rate. And it's also a whole experience doing the speakeasy barbershop experience, which is really, really cool. So I've had friends who've done it and they really, really enjoyed it. But that's a really fun experience at the El Cortez if you want to check out sort of old school Vegas. And that is a really, really cool building. But they've really done the redone the inside. They have, I think, Seagull 46 or something of that nature. It's a cafe and it's really good. But again, I wouldn't go out of my way to eat there, but it's good if you're in that area. It's really fantastic. But just note that's on East Fremont. You have to get out from underneath the canopy to find this place. A couple hotels that have been here for a very long period of time, on Fremont Street, for example, are the El Cortez, obviously. The Golden Nugget has been here forever. The Plaza Hotel. To me, the Plaza Hotel, the only thing that's worth seeing at the Plaza Hotel that makes you feel that old school Vegas is if you go into the Oscar's Steakhouse, because the Oscar's Steakhouse is actually used as a location in the movie Casino. It's when Sam Ace Rothstein is talking to his wife, which is Sharon Stone's character, after they kidnap their child, and you see that beautiful shot of Fremont Street in the background. That was shot at the El Cortez. Unfortunately, though, that shot you can no longer see because there's a big giant brick wall there, because that's actually where they slide the zip line down on Fremont Street. So you can still slightly see the view of Fremont Street, but you do get the picture once you're there. So again, keep that in mind. Oscars is the thing that you want to see at the Plaza Hotel. Everything else is sort of just an old hotel. So not one of the nicer spots on Fremont Street. But as we kind of go down Fremont Street, a couple things to check out. Check out the Golden Nugget. The Golden Nugget's been here since the 60s. Actually, it's been here since really the 1950s in some shape or form. It's sort of taken over parts of Fremont Street. They also have the old cowboy that does the hand, Vegas Vic. And Vegas Vic is certainly something you want to see once you're on Fremont Street. So the things that are on Fremont Street that I would definitely recommend going and checking out, the Mob Museum is a fantastic thing to check out, especially if you're into history, especially, you know, if you're listening to this pod and you're somebody who really enjoys the, you know, how Vegas got started in the entertainment industry. You really have to check out the Mob Museum. The Mob Museum itself, the building, has been here since the turn of the century. It's actually used to be a courthouse, then it was the library, and then it was turned into a national landmark, and then they ended up turning it into the Mob Museum a couple years ago. And it's really one of our best museums to check out. That's very unique to the city of Las Vegas, and it also gives you the history of the mob as well. So the Mob Museum is really cool because of the museum aspect of it, but we're also here to have a good time. And the cool thing about the Mob Museum is that they do have a speakeasy called the Underground, which is also like sort of a history in itself, that is actually underneath the hotel, the museum itself, which is obviously, in case in point, the underground. And the cool thing about this speakeasy is that it actually serves a purpose, because the speakeasies had such a huge impact on the 1920s when alcohol was illegal, and that's really what turned up the affluence of the gangster in America, and then that's ended up being, you know, becoming the main source of income for a very long time, bootlegging for mobsters. Again, look at this, just this pod just going down the history track. But anyways, the speakeasy itself, the underground, is really, really cool. There's two entrances into the speakeasy. You can go through the stairs, which is in front of the building, and then you go downstairs and you get to the underground. But that's the boring way to do it. The fun way of doing it, especially when it's after hours, you actually have to go, if you're looking at the Mob Museum itself from the main street there, you're going to go towards the right, which is the entrance where all the buses have to go in. And then on the right side of the building, so back right corner, there's stairs that lean down. There's no signage. There's stairs that lead down. You go down those stairs, you ring the doorbell, and then you have to give them the password, which the password is always found on their Instagram page for that week. It changes between the weekend and the weekdays, and then you just click on it. It'll tell you what the password is. It'll ask you the password. You say the password, and then boom, Bob's your uncle. You are now inside of the underground speakeasy, which has really, really fun drinks. They have a thing called bathtub gin, which is actually served in a bathtub, which, well, not a gigantic bathtub, a little miniature bathtub, which is really fun. They also have a classic old fashioned, which is actually served inside of a book. You take the actual alcohol out of the book and then pour it into your glass, which it always makes for a very fun experience. It's a really great place to take dates, because it's just one of those fun, unique experiences that, you know, you don't get everywhere else. And they have all these fun little sort of drink ideas for when you go in. And the last time I was there, they actually had a live jazz band that did a really fantastic job. So that was on the weekends. So that is a really great stop, especially if you want to have, you know, a drink or something on Fremont, which gives that sort of old school vibiness to Las Vegas. It's a speakeasy that I think is really good. We've actually sort of overblown the speakeasy in Las Vegas 100%. And I think in general, a lot of places have done that. But this speakeasy feels like it's part of something in terms of the museum. And I think it's a really fun experience. So I think it really does set itself apart from the rest. So really, really fantastic bar over at the Mob Museum. So a couple other bars I just wanted to mention, just so you have it on your radar. A couple tiki rooms are very, very popular. Not so much because that's like where the mob would hang out, but because these are kind of part of sort of that old school, sort of kitschy Vegas. And that would be Frankie's Tiki Room and the Golden Tiki. The Golden Tiki is definitely the much more modern version of that. You get a lot of locals who go in there, a lot of young people. It gets very, very busy. It's in sort of a shopping mall, but the Golden Tiki is probably the most popular of the tiki rooms. The other one is Frankie's Tiki Room, which is actually a standalone building. That's actually a really, really cool little building. And Frankie's Tiki Room, I think, is actually older, but it's a really fun spot to go in, and actually really like mature crowd when you go in there, and it usually gets pretty, pretty busy. So those tiki rooms are both very, very busy, and those are slightly off of the strip, where you definitely have to take a taxi or an Uber ride to get to Frankie's or the Golden Tiki. They also have, she wrote down Vicky's Diner. I'm not sure what Vicky's Diner is. Actually, I do know what that is. So it's no longer here, but there used to be right by the Stratosphere, a White Cross drugstore, and inside was the Vicky's Diner, which is actually where the Rat Pack used to hang out at, after shows for like breakfast and stuff. But Vicky's Diner, which is inside of a drugstore, is no longer there. So you can no longer see Vicky's Diner. So you might have to scratch that one off the list, unfortunately. And the building's not even there anymore either. So that'll be a tough one to try to jump into. But I was really glad that she mentioned the Peppermill. So the Peppermill itself has been here for a lot of years. I'd have to double check. I think it's been here since at least the 70s. But the Peppermill is known for its breakfast and 24-hour service, but also for their Fireside Lounge. The Fireside Lounge is very, very popular. It was actually in the movie Casino as well. Peppermill was also in the movie Showgirls, which I was talking to a bartender over at Delilah's the other day, and he said his favorite movie is actually Showgirls, which interesting choice, but I think that's okay. I think that's what makes us great, which he does have a point. That is one of the better Vegas movies if you really, really think about it. But Peppermill is actually really, really fun. It's great for like late night food, especially if it's after midnight. They make a fantastic breakfast. I really love it. And that is actually where I saw the mayor one day. So it was funny because my dad was actually there with my mom, and then he was like trying to show me the room, and he was like recording. And as he was recording, I looked, I said, is that the mayor? And then as I met up with them, I was like, yeah, guys, that's the mayor of Las Vegas. So that was a, a really fun sort of run-in at the Peppermill. So even our local leaders will stop and eat at the Peppermill. The Peppermill can get very busy, so just keep that in mind, that it's, especially if you go like during breakfast time on the weekend, it is a very popular spot. So just, you know, plan accordingly for the Peppermill. But very large portions, and it's really fun. I really enjoy sort of the vibes of the inside. It feels very like 90s Vegas, even though it's supposed to be like 70s Vegas. But the cool thing about the Peppermill is that when you go, you have all these waitresses. Some have been there for a very long time. Some are very young. So it's kind of fun seeing sort of like the ecosystem of Vegas sort of, you know, working. But you get, you know, a bunch of like younger waitresses, and you also get waitresses that have been there for a couple of years, you know, a little bit more seasoned, but they're wearing these like sort of like short skirted, sort of like overall like skirt dresses, but they have like leggings, so it's nothing like too like revealing or anything like that. But it's just sort of fun and adds to sort of like the experience. And then also the cocktail waitresses who usually hang inside of the lounge, but if you order a cocktail inside of the restaurant, they bring it from the lounge. And those cocktail servers wear these long sort of like sort of satin black dresses, which are sort of like ball gowns, which actually is just so weird and fun, but it's just a really fun thing. It feels Vegas in there, which I love. It feels sort of like not tacky Vegas, but what people think tacky Vegas is like, sort of like swingers back in those days. So I really enjoy the Peppermill, and it's got a little bit more expensive over the years, but definitely not the most expensive thing in town whatsoever. So highly recommend that. So kind of rounded out my food and drink stuff. And those are actually like old places, but there are certain things in town that I think are sort of that old school feel to it, which I'll sort of dive into next. So let's go ahead and jump into that. So a couple of things that sort of are old school Vegas that you find on the Strip are things like what I would recommend, especially for Garrett, who might be coming, Mayfair Supper Club. Mayfair Supper Club definitely feels like the Copacabana. So if you wanted that old school sort of dinner and a show feel, it's a little pricey. So again, all of these things I'm not going to recommend based on, you know, price. I'm recommending them based on the retroness of it. And one of them being is Mayfair. Mayfair feels like an old school throwback idea of the 1950s and 60s Vegas, where the Rat Pack would come in, they'd perform a song, maybe have a drink, you'd be there, you're relaxing, there's no actual like theater seats, you're just there to actually take in the show, have dinner. It's a night out, you're coming from a different place, and this is the place that you get to, you know, save your money and spend it, the high roller. Mayfair Supper Club is definitely one of those places. It's inside the Bellagio Hotel, but once you get into Mayfair, you are transported to, you know, another time period altogether. They have beautiful, long-stem martini glasses, really great cocktails, and fantastic entertainers. And again, it's all-inclusive in, obviously, the dining experience. When I say all-inclusive, don't think that, like, you know, you pay $100 and you're done. There's no extra ticket for example, the show. The show is basically built into your dinner. But again, Mayfair Supper Club is a great option for this. You can make dinner reservations for it. Highly recommend it. Delilah's is also sort of that feel, but it's very much more of an exclusive feel to it. And it definitely feels a lot more LA vibes. So I would say between these two, if you're going retro, I would say Mayfair is probably their better option, but Delilah's does have that old school swankiness to it, but very much more Hollywood transported to Vegas. So again, I love Delilah's, but it can be very expensive. It's hard to get a reservation for there. A lot of times I just walk in and I have my seat at the bar. So again, Dylan absolutely does a fantastic job for me over at Delilah's. Same thing with Jess. She is very, very helpful. So shout out to those two bartenders who are absolutely phenomenal. So as we're kind of just sort of making our way down, those are the two things I'd recommend. One more thing, just sort of crossed my mind. If you want to do like 70s Vegas, sort of that 70s sort of disco, I'm not going to say, you know, the activities that you'd want to be doing in the 70s, but let's just say it does feel like that, is Pinky Ring over at the Bellagio. When you go to Pinky Ring, it definitely feels like a 1970s nightclub where it's actually just a lounge. We call it a lounge now in Vegas, but they have live music. It's funky. It's fresh. It's sort of smoky. It very, very much feels like you're walking into a Bruno Mars music video, which is kind of funny. But they have a dance floor. They also have a lot of table setup, but this is definitely a setup for somebody who wants to feel like 1970s Vegas, bell bottoms, sort of flower power, that whole sort of disco vibe. And that would be at Pinky Ring by Bruno Mars. There's also no phones allowed, which also gives that sort of old feel to it. But again, you can actually take text and talk, but they don't want you recording anything. That's the biggest thing. But Pinky Ring by Bruno Mars is pretty cool. So the cool thing about Vegas, a lot of things are kind of getting thrown back into the mix. For example, places like Pinky Ring, which, you know, is sort of that old school 70s vibe, which is really cool. I just noticed as I was kind of looking at the map here, when I was talking about lounges, was that I didn't talk about Herbs and Rye. So Herbs and Rye is interesting. So Herbs and Rye definitely has that feel of a local bar, like a local sort of, it's not seedy, but a local bar where you get lots of sort of the people who work in these hotels, and this is where they go to sort of blow off steam. But Herbs and Rye might be a good choice for somebody that wants to sort of feel that old school Vegas vibe, with like sort of the clickiness of it. It sort of has that dark wood. They also have this beautiful menu that just sort of goes through all the decades. So they actually have everything from the turn of the century. They have your classic cocktails. They have, you know, rum specific cocktails. They even have a section of the menu that says the Rat Pack, which has all the Rat Pack cocktails that they would have drank there. So that's Herbs and Rye, which if you go there in the evening can be very, very busy, especially on certain days. But Herbs and Rye also does half off steaks. So typically if you go, usually almost any time at this point, but anytime later in the evening, sort of like a reverse happy hour, they will have half off steaks inside of Herbs and Rye. So again, just give it a chance and see what you think about it. But if you are trying to sort of see the old hotels, a couple of the older hotels that are on the strip that are still around, the Flamingo Hotel still has some of its original, not like original architecture, but it does still have sort of the original style built into it. The very low ceilings, it also has the stairs that lead down. But the Flamingo has been here since the mid 40s. Another hotel is like the Sahara. If you end up going to the Sahara and you want to experience something from those early days of the Sahara when it opened, you can go to the Cash Bar or the Cast Bar. The Cast Bar actually used to be a lounge where one of my heroes, Don Rickles, performed. He talks about it all the time. He used to perform at the Sahara for so long. The thing is, the Sahara on the inside has been redone for, you know, so many times that you don't actually have that sort of old-looking part of the hotel. The Sahara's pool is probably one of its more famous things, other than the Riviera used to be world-renowned for its pools. But the Sahara has changed a little bit. They've changed the front of the building. So the Sahara really doesn't have that same sort of architecture that you might be looking for in one of those old hotels. One of the other hotels, if you want to check it out while you're in town, is the Golden Gate. The Golden Gate has actually been a hotel since the 1900s. I want to say 1931. That feels about right. 1931 is actually when the Golden Gate opened up as a hotel. It might have been actually before that. I believe when it was the Nevada Hotel or the Arizona Hotel. I'm trying to remember. So now you guys have my tour guiding hat on. But these places definitely feels very much like back in the day. They even have them dressed up as sort of like, you know, gangsters and mobsters at the Golden Gates. They definitely are feeding the niche or the kitsch, if you will, over at the Golden Gate. They also have very old slot machines on the inside, which is really fun. But that's definitely something to check out while you're here. So if you are still trying to do sort of the old school Vegas-y things, this is not really old school, but it has the feel of it, is a show. A couple shows in town, or really one show in town that I would highly recommend if you like old school Vegas, which this is one of my favorite shows on the Las Vegas Strip, and that is Vegas the Show, which I know sounds super, super cheesy, but it actually doesn't feel that way. It actually feels very much like actually Vegas the Show does travel. I think a lot of them are on actual cruise ships, but since we're here in Las Vegas, and it is here, I really, really enjoy Vegas the Show. It sort of walks you through the history of Las Vegas from the 1950s, when really we started sort of flexing our entertainment muscles in the 50s and 60s with the Rat Pack era and Wayne Newton. And then it sort of moves its way, and we have, you know, Elton John, and we have, you know, Sonny and Cher. And then we get into that era, which it basically stops at Elton John, even though, you know, there's more. But that's really where Elton John comes in. And it's just really fun. It's this beautiful musical, basically, about Las Vegas in, you know, an hour and 30 minutes that takes you through all the decades. They all sing their songs. They have beautiful dancers. They have these showgirls in the shows, which not really, really showgirls like you would think of, you know, like the show showgirls with the big headdresses and everything. But it gives you the point of what the showgirls are. And those showgirls would actually say that they are real showgirls. But Vegas the Show is fantastic. It's over at the Planet Hollywood. And if you want to have that old school Vegas feel, I think this is the highest quality show that does all in one for somebody coming to get that sort of old Vegas vibe, which I love. I really, really enjoy the show, Vegas the Show. In terms of shows themselves, though, that's really the only old-timey show, because how old-timey do our shows get? Again, I mentioned Mayfair is a place that you would get that old-school vibe, and that's really where I would sort of level it off there. So I want to say I've hit a lot of these things. The only thing I think I didn't hit was the Neon Museum, which there are, you know, I mentioned the Mob Museum, but we also have the Neon Museum, and we also have, I actually passed this by today, and that is the Burlesque Hall of Fame, which I haven't walked inside of the Burlesque Hall of Fame, but I found that burlesque takes a much stronger route in Las Vegas than I thought. But the Neon Museum itself is actually really great. I would highly recommend you, if you have a car, to drive it yourself there. Do not walk anywhere near Neon Museum. Neon Museum is a, let's just say, not in a desirable part of town, but they have a lot of lights. They also have lots of security before you get into the actual Neon Museum itself. The Neon Museum is really, really fun, especially if you do it, you know, if you're doing it for the first time and you love that sort of classic Vegas neon. It is phenomenal. It looks beautiful. They have the big giant Moulin Rouge sign. A lot of their historians are really, really knowledgeable on the signs and the sign work that goes into making these signs. They also know a lot about the history of who made them, and they also give you, of course, a dash of Vegas history as you go through. By the way, if you are somebody who loves retro Vegas, you're going to spend a lot of time in the Arts District, which is not where I hang out very often. So there's a bunch of restaurants, like Dino's is really, really popular. There's also another place that's basically like a residence, but I always forget what the name of it is. So just bear with me one second. I'll tell you the name of that old Italian restaurant here in Las Vegas. Yeah, that's what it is. So there is an old school Italian spot, and it's called Chicago Joe's Restaurant, which basically is near downtown. And I actually haven't even eaten there, but I've had friends who've gone to Chicago Joe's, and they swear by it. They say it's so, so good. It's so much fun. It's got that very thick, heavy, you know, Italian gravy. And you know what? I gotta go here one day. Yeah, it basically looks like an old house. It's really, really cool. But it's called Chicago Joe's. And man, do I really want to try this place. I'm excited. I need to try this place out soon. Yeah, you guys got me going on this. Also, another place, what's it called? Piero's. Piero's has actually been here for an extremely long time as well, at least the 1970s. And Piero's actually is, it came out in a show about Tarkanian. He was the old basketball coach that was here at UNLV. But Piero's is actually where he used to frequent a lot. A lot of our local celebrities have been to Piero's, but it is a sort of world-renowned Italian restaurant here in Las Vegas, right near the convention center, which is, you know, still, you know, alive and kicking. But it does have that sort of old school Vegas-y vibe. So I've said old school about a million times in this episode. I've said retro about a million times as well. But hopefully you guys enjoyed it. I forgot to mention Batista's. I'm not just listing these things off. Batista's Hole in the Wall. That place I used to mention on my tours quite frequently. But Batista's Hole in the Wall is actually a place that doesn't have any windows. The food is somewhat mediocre, I have to say. But it is said that that is where a lot of the Rat Pack used to go hang out quite a lot because there are no windows inside of Batista's. Since the Rat Pack has been such an important part of this particular podcast, you can go see the Rat Pack is Back show, which I think that plays the Tuscany. But if you really, really enjoy the Rat Pack stuff, and you want to sort of go to a couple places that really, you know, show homage to these guys, if you go in front of the Venetian Hotel, so in front of the Venetian, where they have the, you know, they have a couple fountains, by the streetlight, I believe it's where the St. Mark's Tower is. So see where the side where the St. Mark's Tower is at the Venetian, big giant tower in front of the hotel. They actually have a like a foot cutout, sort of how they do in front of the Chinese theater in Hollywood, of three footprints, and that is Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Sam Davis Jr., where they actually were standing when they took their famous photo in front of the Sands sign, which is really, really fun to be able to stand there and see how it matches up. Another little tribute to those guys. If you go over to the, you do have to kind of, it's kind of weird because you can drive there and you can like, you also like don't want to stop there because it's sort of in a back street. But if you drive down Frank Sinatra Boulevard or Frank Sinatra Street, as you keep going north or south or whatever you want, you will run into an intersection where you have three streets. You have one street that turns into Sam Davis Jr., and Sam Davis Jr. going the other direction turns into Dean Martin. So all together, these three corners make up Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Sam Davis Jr. Street, which is marked by a big, giant, old-school microphone to show this is where the stars were all together again and will remain for the rest of time here in Las Vegas. So really, really nice little gesture there. So again, hopefully you guys all enjoyed this particular episode. It does actually give a lot of really good recommendations for food and restaurants if you want to have that old school Vegas vibe, or if you just want to, you know, have a little history with your food or your hangout spot. I can go more into history for days and days and days, but we have a limited amount of time on this particular pod. And a lot of those places that those guys performed at is gone. The only place that really remains is the Las Vegas Westgate, which used to be the International Hotel Elvis Presley used to perform, where if you go inside of the Westgate, they do have a somewhat smaller bust statue of the king himself, Elvis Presley. We used to be able to go up to his room and take a tour, but they do still have the International Theater, which is now where like Kool and the Gang and Barry Manilow perform. It is the same stage where they performed in a lot of Elvis's concerts. So again, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Hopefully you like to follow me. If you have any more of these questions or you want me to cover some of these things on the podcast, reach out to me on Instagram, concertsconfidential_LV, or me directly, Brian_Ortega26 on my Instagram. You can also follow us on TikTok, which is @KeysToVegas. Check out our latest video, which is about Baby Stacks, a breakfast place here in town. But again, thank you so much for listening. I always appreciate you guys bearing with me on, you know, our crazy schedule of like putting these out. But again, thank you so much for listening. If you see me out in town, come say hello. Maybe I'll buy you a drink. But if you do see me, remember, keep it confidential.